Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to show 81 of Absolutely Intercultural, the podcast that brings intercultural news, stories and reflections directly onto your MP3 player. My name is Laurent Borgmann and I take it in turns with Anne Fox to host this show. I hope you enjoyed Anne's last show as much as I did. It was number 80 on the occasion of our third anniversary of Absolutely Intercultural. I really appreciated Anne taking us back through time, reviving some of those archived discussions we had on this show. Today, in our category Absolutely Updated, we hear how people need to adapt to new rules and behaviors after important cultural updates in our society. Somehow in her brain there was this little computer crash going on, because it was the first time that a male person was saying to her, "I have to speak to my husband." And we learn how such updates can change us and widen our horizons if we have our intercultural senses wide open and appreciate and embrace cultural diversity.
I have more international contacts now than I would have in Finland, and I have more life experience in a way. I've experienced a totally different way of life.
Finally, in our category Absolutely Motivating, Anna from Finland tells us how she, as a small person, was quite worried whether the other employees of an international virtual company would accept her as their CEO.
I'm a really small person. I'm only 152 centimeters tall. So I was a little bit worried, like, how the other people are going to react when I'm coming and say, "Hi, I'm the boss now."
But let us start with the show. For our first category, Absolutely Updated, we have Carsten Knese and Fernando Reyero Noya in the studio, continuing to explore Gerd Hofstede's concept of culture as the software of the mind. I would like to ask you, the listeners, whether you can actively remember cultural updates in your lives. Often they are brought about by changes in the law, where as a result everybody around us starts behaving differently. For example, after the smoking ban in public places. Important updates are big turning points in our lives and divide time into before and after. Maybe 9/11 in the USA was one of the biggest updates most of us can remember on a global level. Fernando tells us how American insurance companies adapted to the new situation of fear and now offer packages to insure American companies against terrorist attacks.
I think that's because that's been such a huge event that affected the whole world, that everybody has this date in mind that they compare the time before and after.
And I remember seeing a brochure a couple of months ago in the States that says, "Make your company very safe and have a backup plan, an emergency plan against terrorism, floods."
Yes.
And so people are considering that very seriously. Yes. And I don't think 10 years ago anybody considered having an emergency plan in case of a bombing in a company
to
save the data.
It would have looked like a printing mistake. I remember one thing that my wife told me about recently. She works in a place where people register for courses. And you know that in Germany we had a new law for homosexual marriages. She was talking to somebody over the counter and he said that he wanted to bring another person. And in the end it turned out it was his husband. And my wife said that, of course, she's a very open person and she had known about it and everything. And yet somehow in her brain there was this little computer crash going on, because it was the first time that a male person was saying to her, "I have to speak to my husband about it."
Right.
And it almost sounded like a grammatical mistake.
In fact, I have heard something similar in the small town where my girlfriend lives. She's American and she comes from Wisconsin. And there is a person who has decided to change sex, but he's married. So now he's going to become a woman, but he's going to be married to a woman who accepts that situation, which has been a great update for the minds of the people in that small town.
Mm. Yeah.
Great update. That's a good cue. Sometimes when I get an update on my computer, I'm not even sure whether I want it. So I look at it afterwards. I know exactly. It's going to take me 3 weeks until I can do the things which I was perfectly able to do before I got the update. So sometimes I ask myself, why shouldn't I stay like my father? He's still using Windows, I think, 98 or something. Mm-hmm. And he's perfectly happy with that because he doesn't use all these new features. And I sometimes ask myself, do I really use the new features?
Aren't we forced somehow to get the update sometimes?
I think sometimes we are. I think especially with new laws, for example, or new rules, when suddenly something's changing that went very well before the change, and now afterwards you ask yourself, why on earth has that changed? And I think sometimes we are forced to accept updates.
Mm. Well, because they're decided politically most of the time.
And sometimes I find that we do it because of social pressure. Everybody is getting the update, so hey, I'm not going to be the guy not getting the update. I want the update as well.
But these are all updates where life really becomes easier afterwards. I wonder, do we sometimes have to go back afterwards?
I think sometimes we should.
We don't.
I think probably most of the time we just go ahead and we think that any change is a change for a good, and we go into a better situation, but we don't realize that sometimes we should have stuck to the...
All right. You've lived in Germany for quite some time now. Would you say that Germany is what you sometimes call an early adopter of these new things, or would you say that Spain is more...
Okay, that's a very interesting idea, because I think Germany has a perfect combination of the past and the future. In Spain, we were in the past for a very long time, and now we are catching up, and we are going faster than anybody else, and getting all the updates as soon as possible. I mean, we see, for example, Germany as the most modern country in Europe, and sometimes we get updates before Germany, but because we try to be so trendy that we go super fast for them.
All right. Okay. This is something I've noticed in Ireland a lot, actually, that I found that up until 15 years ago, they were sort of behind Germany in many respects, legislation, but also the products you could find on the shelves and everything. And suddenly there has been this boom, and they've overtaken us on the left and on the right, and they look a lot more modern than we do in Germany.
Well, for example, about homosexual marriages or smoking. I mean, now we have forbidden smoking, and probably we will go beyond just to ban smokers out of any public place or any place with children or something like that.
Yeah. Well, that was interesting in Ireland because they implemented the non-smoking policy in pubs, and that has completely changed the whole town of Dublin, for example, because you find people sitting outside in the middle of the winter with these little heating systems. But this is only because they've changed the law. It's an update, but you can actually see it in the streets.
The streets actually became much more livelier because in front of the pubs there's a crowd standing around smoking.
Yeah, right. Yes.
And actually all the chatting up is going on outside. So even people who are not smoking are standing outside because the smokers are standing outside.
It's still
a bit like that. I noticed that when I was in Ireland a few months ago. And it's funny to watch.
In fact, this update goes even further. And there's a new word in the English language, smirting, which is a combination of smoking and flirting. This new behavior pattern came with the non-smoking laws and allowed a new kind of communication, which lasts as long as a cigarette just outside the pubs. You wait until someone you would like to get to know in the pub gets up to have a cigarette, and then you join the person outside and have a cigarette together, and you use the 5-minute break together to get to know each other. Wikipedia has picked up this new trend and even describes the phenomenon of passive smirting as, and here I quote, the pastime for those who stand outside with friends or colleagues but do not actually smoke themselves. This quote was taken from Wikipedia entry on smirting. While most of the time we just react to updates and readjust our lives accordingly, some people actively open themselves to challenges and updates. For example, by studying in another country in order to widen their horizons. Aurora Mastonen from Finland is such a courageous person. In our category Absolutely Changed, she tells us how after her A-levels in Finland, she decided that she wanted to move to England to do her bachelor's degree. I met her at a reception party in Ireland and asked her why she had chosen our partner university, Worcester, in England.
Probably I chose England because for a Finnish person it's really important to know other languages than Finnish, because only 5 million people in the world speaks Finnish. So you have to learn other languages as well. It's even more important when you do business courses, because you are probably going to do some international business. In autumn I received this letter from University of Worcester, which is in England near Birmingham. So I had 1 week to decide whether I wanted to go to England to study or not. They actually invited me to study with them. They send letters to people that meet their standards. So I went to this information thing they had in Helsinki, and I just fell in love with England. They had this PowerPoint presentation and people who had studied in England before, and I thought that's what I wanted to do.
So what did your parents say when you came home and you had fallen in love with England and told them that you would go away for 3 years?
Well, my dad was actually pushing me away, really, but my mum was, at first she was a bit upset, but now she thinks it's great, actually, and it's really good for me to study in England, because I have more international contacts now than I would have in Finland, and I have more life experience in a way. I've experienced a total different way of life there.
And do you often get the chance to go back to Finland?
I go back to Finland about 4 times a year. We have 3 months summer holiday, and I had 4 weeks Christmas holiday, which I spent in Finland, and also a few weeks in Easter time. And it's not that expensive to travel.
How old were you when you decided to go to England?
I was 20.
What did it feel like? I mean, I meet many people who are going abroad for 6 months on an Erasmus exchange, but this is quite a different step. I mean, to go away for 3 years must have seemed like quite a big move for you.
Yeah, it was at first, but there's quite many Finnish people studying in Worcester, so that made things easier, because some things went wrong in the first hour. We didn't get place on campus. We had to move like on our own in houses, and we had to sort everything out by ourselves. So it was a bit difficult. Worst, move from your home to another country and then to sort everything out by yourself.
Now, when you went, you thought this was mainly for the language. What are you thinking now after you spent some time in England?
I can understand the English way of life better. For example, Finnish people might seem quite shy at first, but when you get to know them, they are friendly. But English people, they are overwhelming. They are so friendly, so talkative. They just have different personality in general, it seems.
Are you adopting this style? Do you find it easier or more productive in your life?
Yes, especially when I meet someone who speaks English, for example in Finland, during the summer when I was back at home, I found it easier to talk to someone, and especially if they speak English, I feel more confident and I can go and talk to them more easily nowadays.
So do you really have two personalities now? A Finnish one when you speak Finnish and an English one when you speak English?
Well, actually people have said that I've changed also my Finnish personality, if you can say that. They say that I'm more outgoing probably now and speak about different things sometimes.
It is amazing how such stays abroad do not only train our adaptability to other cultures, but also seem to change our attitudes when we go back to our own cultures afterwards. This is because we integrate successful pieces of behavior, which we learned and tested abroad, into our home culture. This is also perhaps the reason why so many employers prefer to recruit young people who have studied or worked abroad. In our last category, absolutely motivating, we go on to another Finnish exchange student, Anna Moisio, a student at our University of Applied Sciences, Koblenz, who took part in a course called International Business Simulations. She soon found out that while this was called a simulation, her managerial tasks as the CEO of the simulated company with branches in Lithuania, England and Hungary had to be pretty real.
It was a course about simulating a company. And the main idea was to give some advices in advertising in Hungary, meetings in Lithuania, and applications in United Kingdom. So that was like the main idea of the course, and to do everything like in the real company. I was the boss of the course. It means that I was the chairperson of the meetings, and my job was to coordinate everything and keep the deadlines and make the people do the things.
So how do you make students do things? So what were your tricks? Can you tell me?
It was challenging because for other people the motivation comes from different kind of things. And for some people I had to make face-to-face meetings, and to some other people I wrote emails. So it was really different to culture to culture.
Now, was this also different because there were different nationalities on the course?
Yeah, we had people from Germany, Slovak, Poland, and Spain. So it was really intercultural.
Now, I saw a newspaper article about this, and that sounded really good. How did this newspaper article happen?
We made a press conference, and we made it really professional way. We invited this journalist and some other people also from the university, and we organized a real press conference where we talked about this course. And it was really fun, but also it meant lots of work to do. We had deadlines to keep, and we had situations that we needed to cooperate very fast. But on the end, the press conference was a total success, I think. And I think it was the best when the journalist said that he was like sorry that he didn't have the chance to do this kind of course when he was studying.
Right.
So it was really nice thing to hear from him.
Now, what did you personally take away from this?
Well, definitely I learned a lot of new things. Well, first of all, leadership skills, because it was a new opportunity for me. It was really something new and something extremely interesting. And also social skills, more precisely how to get along with people from different cultures. It was really interesting, and I learned so many new things. Like, for example, people from some cultures need more face-to-face contact, and to some other people only to write an email is enough. I also have now more skills to cope in a difficult situation, which I'm sure I will have in the future, in the real working life. Also, I must say that in the first meeting, I was really nervous how to present things. I'm a really small person. I'm only 152 centimeters tall. So I was a little bit worried, like, how the other people are going to react when I'm coming and saying, "Hi, I'm the boss now." But after a while, the presenting became also a routine. And then I was a little bit nervous, but not so much anymore. And also a very important thing is how to make the things in practice. You have learned a lot of things from the books, and you have heard them in your lectures. But when you actually have to do it, then it's a completely different thing. And I think this was one of the greatest things for all of the students of this course. How to do this, how to work in a real life, in a real company.
Now, I heard that last year there was a similar simulation, and the boss of the company decided afterwards that what he had learned from this is that he never wanted to be a boss because it's such a lonely position. Is that true for you too?
Well, actually, in my case, I would say it is the opposite. It is also a lonely place, but I think I would do it again. And these kind of things are something for me. I really like the challenges and responsibility, and I'm really happy when I see the people achieving the goals. So it was the right place for me.
It is good to hear that within her experience at the foreign university, Anna had the opportunity to prove herself as the boss of an international company and was able to put into practice what she had learned about motivation and leadership in lectures and books. This experience was particularly important for her because after completing her master thesis, she's planning to set up her own company, and we wish her good luck for that. This brings us to the end of the show, and we would like to thank our international guests. Fernando from Spain shared his thoughts about cultural updates and how these can be compared to computer updates, and Aurora and Anna, both from Finland, told us how challenging and rewarding a stay abroad can be for students, especially if this excursion allows and encourages them to take on a completely new role in life. If you have enjoyed the show, why not go to our blog at absolutely-intercultural.com and let us know. Maybe you have your own experiences of being abroad as a student and would like to share what you have learned with our listeners. We would love to hear your advice, and I'm sure we will do a follow-up in one of our future shows. Our next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 1st of May. Until then, bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell. Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.